Hello, this is David Wilcoxon, and this is the fourth and final video about the relationship of Daniel 9, Daniel 12, and Messiah's Olivet Discourse. Please watch the previous videos to understand the proper context. Daniel 12:7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." The time, times, and half a time point to 3.5 years. So time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is a half a year. And it's pointing to the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. The holy people refers to the unbelieving Jews and the scattering of their power. The Jewish leadership system was removed from power, darkened as the Roman army scattered them. Daniel 12:7 lines up with Matthew 24:29, as the Jewish leadership system's power was darkened and effectively ended. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." So the Jewish high priest was the sun, the Sanhedrin, the moon, and the priest system, the stars. And they were either killed or taken captive during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. 1 Thessalonians 2, 14-16 says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." So Paul is pointing to the judgment of the Jews who had killed Messiah, killed some of the disciples. And so that fills up their sins. It fills up what Messiah was saying to them in Matthew 23 about they are the sons of those who killed the prophets. And they went on to do the exact same thing. And so their punishment is that their city and their temple will be desolated. Daniel 12:9 says, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Again, it doesn't say the end of time as in the last days. It says the time of the end of the prophecy regarding the Jewish national existence, which ended in 70 AD, when the temple and Jerusalem and the Jewish priest system were desolated. And this points back to Daniel 9:26, which says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." The words were sealed up and hidden from the wicked Jewish leaders so that they wouldn't understand them and escape their coming judgment. The Romans flooded into Jerusalem towards the end of the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. Daniel 12:10 points to the dichotomy of Jews, the believers who are purified and white because of Messiah's atoning work, and the unbelievers who wickedly delivered their promised Messiah up to be killed. They tried to kill Messiah from the start of his ministry. They delivered up an innocent man and chose a murderer instead. They proclaimed, "Let his blood be on us." They mocked him when he was on the cross. So in Daniel it says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." So it's referring to the believing Jews. "But the wicked," the unbelieving Jews, "shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So the wise disciples understood the coming judgment of the unbelieving Jewish nation. Daniel 9:27 proclaims this against the unbelieving Jews who delivered Messiah up to be killed. It says, "For the overspreading of abominations, the Jews' abominations, he, Messiah, shall make it desolate, even until the consummation of the Jewish nation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." So that he is Messiah, he caused the Roman army to desolate the Jews who delivered him up to be killed. And this is what Messiah is declaring in Matthew 24:30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Coming on the clouds with power and glory means to come in judgment. So let me show you the declaration of the Jewish leaders which caused Jerusalem and the temple to be destroyed. "The Jewish high priest said, Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation." The irony is that they chose Barabbas, who was a zealot murderer. And it was the murderous zealots who were the enemy of the Jews during the civil wars when the Romans surrounded them. It was the zealots who incited the Romans so much that they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. So the story comes full circle in a marvelous, ironic way. In Matthew 26:63-64, Messiah is pointing to him coming in judgment of the Jewish nation. Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. The Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be killed to try to maintain their power, but Messiah used the Romans to cast them down from power. Once again, we see confirmation that he, in Daniel 9:27, is Messiah the Prince. Matthew 24:31 points to believing Jews, the elect, being gathered together by their leaders, which is in the Greek agalos, and it's rendered as angels, but it's pointing to leaders. And this took place after the war, and it's not referring to the end times. They had heeded Messiah's warning of the abomination of desolation and escaped to the mountains as Messiah told them. They lived there during the time of trouble for the unbelieving Jewish nation during the Jewish-Roman War of 66-70 AD. So let's bring the story full circle to close out this explanation. The prophecy starts by saying the 70 weeks are determined for the Jews to rebuild the city and temple, draw near to the Father, and accept their promised Messiah, who appears in the 70th week to die for their sins, as Isaiah 53 foretold. The prophecy ends by saying that desolations are determined upon the unbelieving Jewish nation. The prophecy started by allowing the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and ends by proclaiming that the city and temple would be destroyed. This is the proper context of Messiah's Olivet Discourse, which is about judgment on the unbelieving Jewish nation. And you can read Matthew 23 and you see that Messiah rebuked the Jewish leaders and he cast judgment on them because they were descendants of their fathers who killed the prophets who were sent to them. 1 Peter 4:7 says, But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. The end of the world was not at hand in the first century. Peter is referring to the effective end of the Jewish nation. Adam Clark's commentary on the Bible says, In a very few years after St. Peter wrote this epistle, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. To this destruction, which was literally then at hand, the apostle alludes when he says, The end of all things is at hand. The end of the temple, the end of the Levitical priesthood, the end of the whole Jewish economy was then at hand. So it's easy to read Messiah's parables and overlook the condemning statements that he makes, which are directly connected to the Jews rejecting him and the consequences of their action that took place in that generation. Messiah's parables point to the desolation of the Jews who rejected him. Some Jews believed the Messiah and bore fruit for his kingdom, but the Jewish leaders and many others delivered him up to be killed, so the wrath of the Father was upon them. The parable of the wedding feast foretold that Messiah would send an army to destroy the Jews and Jerusalem. Matthew 22:1-7 says, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. The Jews were invited to enter into a marriage covenant with the Father, through the Son. But most declined the invitation, and they treated his servants spitefully, and slew them. They delivered the Father's Son up to be killed. The Father's vengeance for all the righteous blood they shed came upon that generation of Jews when Messiah had the Roman army destroy them and burn up Jerusalem in 70 AD. Once again, we see that the Jewish leaders' rejection of Messiah brought destruction upon them. The parable of the talents foretold the Jews who rejected Messiah being slain. The nobleman went to receive a kingdom, and he called his servants to occupy until he returned. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Messiah rewarded those who accepted him, but to those who refused, Messiah commanded, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." This was fulfilled when the Roman army flooded the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, killing hundreds of thousands of Jews by the sword. Who caused that to happen? The Jews who hated Messiah and refused to be subservient to him. The parable of the tenants told the Jewish leaders they would be destroyed. In Matthew 21, Messiah told the story of the landowner who leased his vineyard to the vine dressers, but when he sent to gather the harvest, they killed the messengers and then his son. Messiah then asked the Jewish leaders, "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, which is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Messiah gave them every opportunity to bear fruit for his kingdom, but the wicked Jewish leaders killed him and his prophets, so he used the Roman army to desolate them. Some Jews believed in Messiah and were part of the bride of the Son. The kingdom was given to them and believing Gentiles to bear fruit by proclaiming the gospel. But the Jewish leaders and many others refused his offer and continued their rebellion. Their judgment came when the Roman army was sent to destroy the unbelieving Jews and burn up Jerusalem in 70 AD. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on Messiah's followers who proclaimed the gospel in different languages, Peter said to the Jews, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come." It's talking about the last days of the Jewish nation. In Joel, the word is terrible or fearful, which applies to days of calamity, trial, and judgment. And when you visualize what took place in 70 AD, you can see that there was blood, and the city was on fire, and there was smoke filling the air. And literally, it probably blocked out the sun and the moon on that day of judgment. Peter is proclaiming that judgment is coming upon the Jewish nation for rejecting their promised Messiah and delivering him up to be killed. Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In the last part of Joel 2:32, it says, "And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Joel and Peter proclaim that those who believe in Messiah, the remnant, would be saved, delivered from the impending calamities to come upon the rebellious Jewish nation. The sun being darkened and the moon turning into blood is a figurative representation of an eclipse, pointing to the Jewish leadership system being removed from power. This matches the description in Matthew 24:29. Messiah's kingdom eclipsed that of the Jewish leaders. Messiah is our high priest. His followers, both Jews and Gentiles, are the priest. This brings the narrative full circle. 1.1 million unbelieving Jews died in and around Jerusalem during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. But Josephus documents that not one of Messiah's followers perished in the siege of Jerusalem, for they were not there, as they had heeded Messiah's warning to escape Judea to the mountains of Pella for safety. So we see the remnant of Joel 2:32, the followers of Messiah were saved spiritually and from the time of trouble for the unbelieving Jewish nation. So indeed, as the apostle proclaimed in Romans 11:26, all Israel was saved, for a true Israelite has a covenant relationship with the Father through faith in the Son's atoning work. Do you see how a wrong interpretation of the 70th week of Daniel 9 affects one's perspective about Daniel 12, the Olivet Discourse, Romans 11, and Revelation. I prove out the fulfillment of Matthew 24 and Luke 21 in the Olivet Discourse Decoded video series. I show how the prophecies in Revelation have been in the process of being fulfilled since it was written in the Revelation Timeline Decoded video series, and there's not much left to be fulfilled before Messiah returns. You can find PDF summaries, links to videos and audios, links to request free PDF copies of the prophecy books, and get printed copies at www.BibleProphecyDecoded.com. I pray that the explanations in the 7th week of Daniel 9 Decoded video series have opened your eyes. But I realize that if they have, then your mind is trying to comprehend how it's possible that the enemy has misled the end time saints so badly. And I'll talk about that in the next video. If this video helps you, please click on the thumbs up, make a comment, and share it with others. That's all for today. I love y'all. Shalom.